Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 weeks ago, I began my new teaching titled, Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right. This teaching is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. It is Satan alone who has perverted health and healing to keep mankind sick and diseased. His deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. Based on scripture, I made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. We found out that God entered into blood covenant with Abram by swearing on his own life. Further, that God does not lie. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay down his life on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. God's word can be trusted because if he would ever lie to us, he would destroy himself. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine health and healing. Let's start this week by rereading our four foundational scriptures for this teaching. And please note that for this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Please turn to the book of Psalm. Our first foundational scripture is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read from verse 1. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah. Verse 4 says, "But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs. He has carried our sorrows and pains, yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded, and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus, and by his stripes, wounds, we are healed." Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word, and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah." Verse 17, "So that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases." Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his stripes," that's Jesus' stripes and wounds, "we believe, having been healed." Amen. Again, all of these scriptures are with regards to divine healing. That is the topic of this study. Let's continue where I left off last week before I ran out of time. I was explaining in brief a few of our other blood covenant benefits that Jesus the Messiah paid on our behalf with his blood. Just as a reminder, our first benefit is deliverance from sin. Deliverance from sin. And to validate this benefit, last week we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Let's go on to our second benefit. Christians have safety from harm. We have safety from harm. Please turn to the book of Psalm. Psalm 91. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16 with regards to safety from harm. Verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely." Verse 3, "For he will save you from the trap of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you and completely protect you with his wings, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." Verse 6, "Nor of the pestilence that strikes in darkness, nor of the destruction, sudden death that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but danger will not come near you." Verse number 8, "You will only be a spectator as you look on with your eyes and witness the divine repayment of the wicked as you watch safely from the shelter of the Most High. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels in regard to you to protect and defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. Verse 12. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent will trample underfoot. Because he set his love on me, therefore I will save him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. Verse 15. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Last verse, verse 16. With long life I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. Wow, what a powerful psalm. Again, this is a psalm that we can declare when we come against something that is evil, so we can protect ourselves. Safety from harm. I just want to highlight a couple of the scriptures in portion so that you can really see the extent of what God has provided for us in his covenant with us. So let's go back to verse number 1, and I just want to read the last portion of that verse, and it says, "Rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand." Amen. There isn't anything too big for our God or too small that he does not want the best for us. So we have assurance from his word. Verse 2, that portion that says, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely." That should be our declaration when we talk about the Word of God. We need to be saying, "I trust in the Lord, and I have great confidence, and I rely on my Heavenly Father." Let's drop down to verse number 5. It says, "You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." There is no fear in the things of God because we know that we have the greater one in us. So we can rest assured that his word will always come to pass in our lives if we operate in faith. Let's go to verse number 6. It says, "Nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction, sudden death that lays waste at noon." Those are the things we do not need to be fearful of. And with all that's going on in today's climate with regards to this virus and everything else that's going on, these racism situations that are rising up, everything. We don't have to be fearful, but we do need to know what the Word of God says so that we can speak the solution over the situation. Let's drop down to verses 10 and 11. It says in verse 10, "No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent." That's the claim that we want to make in faith. Verse 11, last part of that verse says, "Defend and guard you in all your ways of obedience and service." That's the assurance we have when we are obedient to God's word and we're operating in his word, we will be protected and guarded. Verse 14, last part of that verse says, "He confidently trusts and relies on me." That's what we should be doing. Knowing I, the Heavenly Father, will never abandon him or you and me. No, never. That's the kind of faith that we have to operate in. That boldness that says we know what God's word says, and we're going to claim that word over our lives. Now, this last verse should be in every Christian's mouth. It says, with long life, I will satisfy him. So that's our Heavenly Father. And I, the Heavenly Father, will let him see my salvation. Again, we have a covenant promise, safety from harm. Let's use it, family. All right. Thirdly, Christians have preservation from evil. Please turn to chapter 23 of the book of Psalm. Psalm 23, I'm going to read the whole psalm, verses 1 through 6. Starting with verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want or lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. Verse number 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell forever throughout all my days in the house and in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Again, we have a covenant promise that says we are going to be preserved from evil. And I just want to remind you, based on this passage, those key faith confessions we should be making over our lives. So let's go back to verse number 1. And in verse number 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want, I shall not lack. That should be your claim of faith. Then verse number 4, that verse says, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. Whenever situations arise that are fearful, that should be your claim in faith. Amen. Fourthly, Christians have soundness of mind. Soundness of mind. Please turn to the book of 2 Timothy. Now, we want to make sure that we claim this on a continuous basis. We are hearing so much about dementia, Alzheimer's, and all kinds of mental ailments. But for Christians, we got the way of escape. We got the solution in Jesus. So soundness of mind, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline. Abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Amen. I want to read that first part of the scripture one more time. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound judgment. Amen. Let's claim it, family. All right. Listeners, it is important to know all of our covenant rights and how to operate in them. And it all starts by accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us how to apply the Word of God to our lives. All of God's benefits are necessary if we want to live a victorious life here on earth. However, as I stated before, because of the relevance of our healing benefit in today's turbulent climate, this study will concentrate on the topic of healing. Here is the definition of healing. It means the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. This lets us know that at some point in time we were healthy, but for the attacks of Satan, disease, pain, sickness, or infirmity was entered into our body. As a Christian, we do not need to accept the negative outcome of any ailment because we read clearly in our foundational scriptures that Jesus took all sickness and diseases upon himself. And the result of Jesus' work, all death and destruction, has been paid in full by his blood. I want to make myself very clear. We do not deny the ailment. Rather, we do not allow it to dictate how we will operate in faith against it. Remember, Jesus has already paid the cost to satisfy the penalty of sin, which is death. Satan no longer has a legal right to steal, kill, or destroy us. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and there is no one or nothing, including the COVID-19 virus, that can be successful against us. We can operate according to God's word in faith. So why then are there so many Christians still afflicted, suffering, and dying prematurely? There are only two possible answers to this question. The first answer is that the individual is ignorant of his divine right to healing, and therefore does not know that he or she does not have to accept and pay with their life for their ill condition. In the book of Proverbs, we are told to get knowledge of God's word, and more importantly, to get godly understanding so we can operate in wisdom and receive the blessings of God. Please turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 4:7. It says, "The beginning of wisdom is get skillful in godly wisdom. It is preeminent. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Actively seek spiritual discernment, mature comprehension, and logical interpretation." That's our responsibility as Christians. It is not good enough just to hear the word and read the word. You need to get understanding. And that understanding becomes from studying, from allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you. Family, God's people are destroyed for ignorance of our covenant benefits. It is not because we do not have God's written covenant available to us. It is because too many Christians are not taking the time to read and study his word, to get understanding to operate in God's wisdom. Please turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. We have a responsibility, family, and that is to study and then allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us or illuminate to us the divine word of truth. For Christians, the best teacher is someone who has diligently studied and then applied the word of God to his or her own life. and is living according to the word, bearing godly fruit. Each Christian should have such godly demonstrations in their life, so others may see their good works and draw them to Christ. Family, I want to put a little pin right here, and just as a reminder, you must study so that you can understand the information that God is giving us, His promises, and then successfully apply those promises to our lives. Remember, you cannot study or not teach without proper understanding. So please take the time. Take the time to search the scriptures. Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God to you. The second possible answer to the question, why is so many Christians sick and dying prematurely, is that the person knows what God's Word says about health and healing, but they choose to be disobedient to God's commandments. As a result, Satan can now take a legal right to attack the person with sickness and disease. Now, please do not get offended and turn off your radio. Oh, family, I'm so sorry. I am out of time. But please return next week as we continue our study on divine healing, our covenant right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.